Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Last Sunday show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with Jay Fox.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Three speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Elvis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
Alright, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Obviously, it was... Oh, never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go out speaking to kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking a piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, merry fucking Poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yes, usually Destructoid with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. Sorry, I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dry, so none's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes... are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, it is not. Wii U sales, not bad, says the Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. Don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. You know what, it's so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I'd never leave you locked the lurch with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the VGAs the other day, which trust, I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy quite, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish these fucking cunts would... actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie Horse Adventures. Halo, well, does Halo have a story? Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN, its staff, its post-News Corp iteration. I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell, has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in an office doing fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer. And literally, they just sort of fisses up the arse. But yeah, so yeah, welcome to the show.
And good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay where you are. All you lovely listeners out there, especially ones who are listening this this week from Rockstar. Hello, guys. Thanks for listening. I say it's the Grand Theft Auto special. Nothing really too special, but I say Grand Theft Auto's out today. I hope you're all playing it. I am not at the moment, obviously, because I'm doing my show. Which, you know, I did think about maybe today just say, fuck it, I want to play Grand Theft Auto. But no, I promised you a Grand Theft Auto special, and that's what you're going to get. Pretty much no difference to any other show, but I'm going to talk a lot about Grand Theft Auto and, you know, my history with the game, all my favourite bits. And, you know, it was posted in the Facebook group last week. You know, what are your favourite bits? Tell me, and I'll, you know, say it on the show. And I found about... had some good replies from people, had some good stories come in. My old man helped me out with a couple. He found a couple of good news articles, so I'll be reading that as well. And there's actually sort of been a stab in as well, which I've also found in one of the news articles. But yeah, I'll get the usual shit under the way. You know, listening to the show on podcast, you come and join us in the chat room, facebook.com/morelikeradio. Let me get that right. Morelikeradio.com/live. We go live 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern. I say, if you want to contribute to the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby. Get yourself in there. I mean, next week's topic is going to be about the Eurogamer Expo, which is next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going on the Friday. So basically, I want you to tell me what you want me to go and look at. You know, what I should be seeing. What you'd like me to check out for you. But yeah, I'll talk about more of that about later. But yeah, so if you know, ever want to call in, it's Antisocial Game Radio on Skype. It's all one word. Well, Antisocial Game Radio, all one word on Skype. Facebook group, Facebook page, rather, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Give us a like. I think we're up to that 62 at the moment. A few more would be lovely. And you want to follow us on Twitter? It's at MLR Gamer Radio. But yeah, I say I'll get into the usual what I've been playing for. I'll talk about Grand Theft Auto. I played a few things. Jay from Old School Wrestling Review before me says I don't have GTA 5, so looking forward to hearing this. You're going to be disappointed. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be fun. I've been looking forward to this for a week. But I say I do really want to just get the show out and done over the way so I can sit down and play Grand Theft Auto, which I have actually turned on because I had to install it. It took me quite a few minutes to install it. So I thought, fuck it, I'll do that before the show. That way, when I've done the show, I can just sit down and play Grand Theft Auto for the next two days straight because I'm off those days. Stuart's in chat. Hello, mate. I saw your collector's edition. You Pope taking pictures. Stuart's in chat taking tons of pictures of his collector's edition. Because the motherfucker's got money, and he bought himself the collector's edition, you know. But you know, whatever, good for him. I'm not too fast or jealous. But yeah, so what I've been playing this way, I played a few things. The DuckTales demo came out, gave it a go. Very very short, very very fun. I don't get how people are saying it's hard. I mean, just, I never played the original. Same, you know. So I have no clue how hard it gets, but it was fun. I will pick it up once it goes on sale. Can't say more than that, to be honest. Dishonored, I finished the DLC, the Brigmore Witches DLC. First, it was actually really good. I mean, I think it was only like two main parts. The first part was quite funny. You had to find a part for a ship, and you had to sort of go around and deal with these sort of, you know, gangs that find each other, sort of very Gangs of New York, but it's set in a sort of alternate universe, basically Victorian London. And it was quite fun. Second part was basically you had to go to the final sort of boss battle as such, which was really hard. You had to go to this big mansion, and there was these skulls that would float into the air and then turn into dogs, and you had to crush the skulls. A lot of fun. I haven't, because I mean, I want to do a second playthrough on both DLCs, but like more stealthy. But I have no idea how I'm going to do this mansion bit very stealthy, because literally you've got these skull dog things, and then you've got everything else, and it's going to be a lot of fun trying to do it. I know that when I get around to it. But I say I have no clue at the moment. But I say it is a lot of fun, and you know, I do want to. Dishonored is a great game. It came out last year, and I got it for Christmas. So that's going to be, you know, it will be on my game of the year categories. I finished that. I do want to play through it several more times. I gave the XCOM demo another go. I really want to pick the game up, but I say, as you know, GTA is out today. I'm playing that for a while, but I say I will be picking it up sometime in the future because it is quite fun, and I do want to play more into it. I mean, just the demo just didn't do enough for me, so I will be picking that up, you know, fully when I get a chance. Back playing Pokemon. I've stopped playing Animal Crossing for the moment because I really can't be asked to do anything else in Animal Crossing. Had the perfect town, got a load of the golden items. It's just nothing to do in the game, to be honest. So I'll just probably leave it, and if I don't play it for a couple of months, I'll probably just sell it. But it's a lot of fun. I just really can't, you know, attach myself to a game for that long, you know, because it is, you know, you can play it every day, just doing little bits and pieces to your to your town. But to be honest, I just didn't really want to be honest. What else have I been playing? I tried out the iFruit app, which comes with GTA. It's free on the iTunes store, so download it, and you can connect it up to your PlayStation account or your Xbox. And I haven't really gone too far into it. I downloaded it and installed it and synced it up and signed up for the Rockstar Social Games Club thing. But I haven't really done too much. You know, whatever. Oh, sorry, Pokemon. I didn't completely finish it. I'm trying to breed a shiny Charmander. So, you know, Pokemon comes out in about 25 days. I've got about 25 days to breed that. I mean, you know, before I'm non-stop on X and Y. The iFruit thing. It's okay. Download it. You can. That is sort of things that help you train your dog. I'm not too sure. I haven't really gone into it as such, but I plan to. Just trying to get the time to do it, because literally you do need constant internet access to it, otherwise it won't work offline. So if you have an iPhone, it's perfect for it, or you know, you have free time if you've got an iPod Touch, you know, that sort of thing, or iPad rather, it works on that as well. What else? Diablo, finished it, knocked it out, did it finish this weekend. Me and Stuart were playing it all weekend. Really good. I mean, the last boss was fucking hard. Took like 5 times to beat him. This is on normal. I do want to play it again on harder difficulty, because I mean, I was saying to Stuart, I was saying, well, it's nice, but it could do be a bit harder. But now I've unlocked like harder difficulties, I will give a go on that. Having fun with my Demon Hunter, really good. Just rapid fire, just taking out waves and waves of enemies. Still broke. I mean, my mate's playing this on his PlayStation. He's just saying he's got like 200,000 gold. I'm like, how the fuck are you doing that? When I'm literally just sort of, you know, got no money at all. But, you know, pretty good. I mean, the first 2 acts are really long, and then 3 and 4 are very, very short. The third one was basically you're in a castle, and you've got to defend it, and then you've got to take out a bad guy, and that pretty much is it. And the next bit, you're in heaven fighting, like, Diablo's army, and it's really, you know, it's good, but it just feels like it could have been longer, which is really weird, because, I mean, playing this now, having completed it, it's like, well, this is a PC game, and now it's on a console. Now we get to see, as you know, console gamers who don't play stuff on the PC, get to see what's going on with, you know, what PC gamers are playing. And I don't really get the whole PC gamer mentality about, I don't know, this is just me, sort of thinking they're not exactly this. I'm probably just blowing this out of the water, but I sort of get the feeling that they think they're better than us console gamers. Like, you know, all they have to do is like 4 buttons and a mouse, whereas we were joysticks and buttons, and you know, that's just what I'm getting. I'm probably wrong. Stuart's agrees, because we're both the same class, we're both the Demon Hunters. which is, you know, is your basically your archer character. Use crossbows, bows, you know, stand back and just open up with a rapid fire. And that's what we were doing. We were... thanks, Jay. Jay says, filthy console peasants. But yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of fun with it. It's really good. I mean, I do want to go back into it. I mean, that's the thing. I did sort of rush through Diablo just to finish it before GTA came out. You know, I've got no problem with that. I mean, Diablo, literally, I mean, from what I'm getting from Dutch and from other people, you can just play it round and again and again and again, trying to get even better loot, even more money. I mean, I had a look at the achievement list of this thing, and, you know, there's like one for like having like 5 million gold and beating every boss on every single difficulty, and, you know, they're sort of astronomical, sort of Dark Souls, Demon Hunter trophy achievement sort of style. I mean, if you've seen the achievements and trophies for Dark Souls and Demon Hunter and Dark Souls, what was it? Demon Souls? Yeah, the precursor. You know, that's crazy. You know, beat this boss and that, and, you know. Jay's just posted a really, this is a fucking, you see, you've got to be in the chat to see this. Jay's just posted a picture in the chat. It says, glorious PC, gaming master race. And you basically, it's got someone who looks, well, sort of like, looks like Thor, basically. Or, what the hell was the guy on the romance novels, the long hair? I don't know what the hell is his name, not Sebastian. I don't know. He lives out in America, I think, somewhere. And it's got, that's above him, and above a dirty console peasant, it looks like someone who's sort of, you know, could be Tiny Tim's brother. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I do get the whole love for the PC game, you know, the whole Diablo, to be honest. But it's good. You know, I've done it, finished it. Thank you, Jay. Fabio, that's it. It basically, the guy, the PC gamer master race character looks like Fabio. Yeah, that's his name, Fabio. Fuck knows why that guy's famous. But yeah, I mean, it's a really good game, and I had a lot of fun with it. I will be going back to it at time. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, apart from, you know, Batman and Call of Duty and whatever else I can think of, there's nothing really else coming out this year that I'm after on a console basis. You know, Pokemon's my next big thing. I mean, I was going to take this week off for work, but I'm running out of work time. So I'm taking off the Pokemon week, which, you know, I'll be non-stop Pokemon. Because, I mean, that's pretty much wraps up what I've been playing. Oh, before I forget, I'm literally all over the place tonight. Rainbow Six, there we go, there's an S in it somewhere. Rainbow Six Vegas, for all you Xbox Live Gold subscribers, it's free now until the end of the month, so make sure you pick it up. It's about 6 gigs, it's fucking huge. That's what she said. And, it's worth downloading, it's free, pick it up. You know, I've downloaded it. I mean, I haven't played this since it was on the PlayStation. PlayStation 3. I didn't really get that far with it because I weren't too sure. But so I'm going to play it again on this and, you know, on the Xbox, rather. And give it a go and, you know, get a little bit into it, do whatever. I'm not too fussed. It's a free game. I downloaded it. You know, oh, well, Stuart's in chat. It says, Battlefield 4. Oh, there's a new Battlefield 4 there. Battlefield, not Battlefield. Battlefield 4 multiplayer trailer, which I haven't seen, but I saw one of the gaming sites that I follow posted it, and I will chuck it in the Facebook group as soon as I finish the show, or I can be asked because I'll be too busy playing Grand Theft Auto. But yeah, Stuart says Battlefield 4, Batman, and Assassin's Creed. Yeah, of course, Assassin's Creed. That game looks amazing. It's going to be really... I'm just thinking now about, because it's September now, you know, it's like 4 months to the end of the year, and before I do my Game of the Year show as well. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff still to come out, and there's a lot of stuff on my mind. I haven't even sat down and thought about it. I do need to make a list of what, you know, what I want from a Game of the Year sort of thing. But I don't know yet. But we'll wait and see, wait and see. But yeah, that's how that wraps up what I've been playing. And we'll pretty much go into this special. We'll do the topic, which I said last week. I said, you know, a number of questions to do with, you know, your favourite characters, your gaming history and that sort of stuff. You know, I say, well, who are your favourite characters from the game? I say, Mine, give me reasons as well. Donald Love, you know, from GTA 3 and Vice City. He's a really weird character, because literally, I mean, right at the end, well, that's the thing. So from what I've noticed from the Grand Theft Auto games, it's like we get to the end and you sort of find the mastermind or the big boss guy who pays you the more money for the more spectacular missions, you know, more, you know, adventurous type of missions. And, you know, at GTA 3, it was Donald Love. He paid you for a bit. I think he sort of ran away at the end. I'm not sure. But then I liked it in Vice City, because sort of playing it was like, you know, set in the 80s, like 10, 15 years before, you know, GTA 3. And then he's there with the Texan guy, which it totally makes me wonder, like, what happened? And then the guy with the cowboy hat is insulting Donald, like, because he's sort of wearing it, sitting there with his glasses and just sort of scribbling away notes and trying to learn stuff. And it's like, you know, how did he get to be where he was? And, you know, I just thought he was an interesting character like that. The Italian mobsters from GTA 3. And most of this is going to be like GTA 3 because it's one of my favourite games. I thought that was really great. I mean, I'll explain a bit more later. But, yeah, the mobsters, you know, the sort of first Italian family you work for. You start of GTA 3, you just escaped from prison. You and 8-Ball. 8-Ball was a great character as well. Very underused. That's one of my main things from GTA 3. All of the characters were really good, but they all went underused. They were there, and then they went. I mean, the GTA 3 was a very, very short game considering all you can do. Like, the main story-wise, I'm thinking. It's a very short game. But, yeah, I say the Italian mobsters, that whole family, they were great. There was a great bunch of characters that basically, met an untimely hand at your hands, basically. CJ and San Andreas, I didn't really like the game, to be honest. It was too ghetto for me. But CJ, he was a great character. One of the best main characters we've had. Tommy Vercetti, Vice City. Vice City is my favourite GTA game so far, followed very closely by GTA 3. And Tommy was a great character. I'm hoping we see him in GTA 5. I doubt it, but I don't know yet. I haven't started playing it. What else we got? Oh, sorry. There we go. In GTA 4, Brucey. I mean, he's the only character. I mean, GTA 4 was okay. It sort of expanded on what sort of they were trying to accomplish with GTA 3. You know, the whole dynamic open world 3D cityscape. But, I mean, yeah, Brucey was a great character. Very closeted gay. I didn't even know he was gay. He didn't even know he was gay. Sort of character. And, you know, he was sort of wacky enough that it actually fit what GTA used to be. And, you know, I think we're sort of getting back slightly with this one, with GTA 5. But, yeah, he's got a great character. I mean, I asked other people this as well, and we got, you know, several answers. Jack from Talk Radio Meltdown, great show, you should listen to it. His some of his favourite characters were Phil Cassidy, Vice City. Lance Vance, the guy from Vice City as well, and Tommy Vercetti. So basically a load of Vice City characters. Vice City was such a good game. Dark Fox, you know, from Mark Out Radio. He's interesting. A gay Tony. See, I've played a lot of the GTA games. But I never played any of the expansions that we got with GTA 4. I was sort of really pissed off with GTA 4. I mean, it's a good game, but it was just the missions were too scripted. And it just pissed me off. And I thought, fuck it, I can't be asked to do any more of this game because it really pissed me off at the end of it. But yeah, one of his favourite characters was Gay Tony? One of the... I can't really say anything because I never played that DLC. I'm not the best person to speak about it, but Little Matt, he said, you know, CJ, Tommy Vercetti, same as me, and also Big Smoke from San Andreas. It was really weird. I was watching, because I mean, I'd never completed San Andreas. I got most of the way. I got to literally what the hell was it Los Venturas, you know, the Las Vegas city in San Andreas. I got to there and then she just stopped. I think I got stuck and just stopped playing. But yeah, I got that far, but sort of seeing back different people, you know, all the places that you could be was really good. And, you know, his Big Smoke was in his favorite characters. But yeah, I say I wish I'd done better in San Andreas, but I was actually watching the ending. It's amazing, I mean, how much the graphics have come along since San Andreas. So it was like watching it compared to what we got now. Fucking graphics were shit back then, but it's the changing of the times. It's the way things go. Also, I said, tell me your favorite best and worst moments from GTA. I say, you know, one of my best moments at GTA 3. So the Italian mobster family, when you're the mission is to kill them all. I think it was ordered that by was it Ahsoka from the Yakuza. I went out and found a rocket launcher. I don't know if I found it or used the cheats, but basically stood on top of one of the buildings. They all gathered up in the limo, and did you just blew them all away with a rocket launcher? I just kept doing that mission over and over again. It was so much fun. But yeah, that was my thing. It was like, you know, even the Yakuza and that, you didn't get that much time with in GTA 3. So GTA 3 had such great characters, and you know, the mobsters you didn't really get to see that much because you killed them. But that was a really good moment. Also, a good moment. You didn't actually do it. It was. I'm not sure if it was implied. But I mean, if anyone in GTA remembers GTA 3 remembers Maria, the woman who was it Salvatore, the big sort of godfather of the godfather of the Italian mobsters, the mafia. That his. Whatever girl she was, right at the end of GTA 3, the big sort of shootout on that dam, it's sort of you kill her, which I thought was quite funny, because she's saying, "Oh, you're my hero. You rescued her and all this sort of stuff." And then the credits are rolled, and she keeps talking and talking, and then you just hear a gunshot, and then it's like no more talking. It's like basically the main character killed her, and I'm like, that was hilarious. I thought that was really funny. It's just really, really good. Now Stuart is an arsehole and rubbing it in. He said, "I just robbed a gas station and made $600. Hell yeah. Yes, I hate your guts, you bastard." Because he's playing this right now. I mean, I've installed it. I'll play it afterwards. But we're not going to play together on this until October 1st when the multiplayer is unlocked. But yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here with envy. For some reason, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I don't know. I've been working all day, and I don't even get to play the game for another hour and a half until this show's finished. But yeah, what a bloody bastard Stuart is. But yeah, other payments moments from GTA, the Love Fist missions. That was the Scottish rock band in Vice City. Oh, I love those mission skips. It was so funny. Because it was, my sense of humour, that sort of thing. Euphemisms, mannerisms, phrases. It was really funny. And, you know, I say, that's the thing. I was born in the 80s. I'm a big fan of 80s music, 80s movies. I'm a big fan of that sort of stuff. And, you know, Love Fist were a great band. made up band anyway. What else have I got written down? Oh, the stealing. So San Andreas, there wasn't much that I did like. But I say the stealing missions, you know, we could go into the people's houses to make money, you load them up in the van. I love those. I thought that was hilarious. You know, you sort of go in and there'd be people there, or people would be asleep and you could pick up anything you wanted. I thought that was quite fun. I mean, hopefully we're going to do it in this game. I mean, we have the heists and stuff, and obviously Stuart's, being an arse and rubbing it in. But yeah, I say I'm looking forward to seeing what this does. One of my other favourite moments, I mean, it's not even a big moment, but I felt like I'd accomplished something when I did it. Getting to the second island in GTA 3. It was like, you know, it was sort of, you'd been trapped on this one island and you were sort of closed in, but now you had the second island, you got a bit of freedom, and it was really good. It was sort of, because the way it happened was like you killed all the mobsters and then you had to escape, so you jumped in a boat and you sort of, you know, drove what you'd, you know, floated away to the second island, and it was sort of like, so opened up somewhere new places, new people to meet, new stories, new missions. and basically just new activities, and it was really, really fun. My worst moments, San Andreas. I love the city, great city, you know, great world to play in, but it's just didn't do anything for me. Let's say it was a bit too ghetto, and I was like, well, I mean, see, the CJ is a great character, but just all the other characters that he was surrounding himself with just felt like complete idiots, to be honest. I think it was probably the way it was written. I just didn't like the way, you know, that sort of thing. Now what's Stuart doing? He says, I'm doing both. Been interested so far. Tow trucks are fun. Drive down the road, hook up some random pedestrian's car, take it while they're in it. Oh, I've got to do that. Yeah, I've been watching Game Trailers posted a review, which is like 12 minutes long. And they put up some other videos as well. So I've been watching them all day, like several times. But yeah, the tow truck stuff looks fun, you know. That's what I'm hoping as well. There's like the sort of gone in 60 second missions where they say, go and pick up this bunch of cars, and then take them to the garage. I've always liked those missions. They were really fun, just sort of cruising around the city, looking for the right car. And, you know, if they're in it, I'm fucking set. I love those sort of things. Where was I? Oh, here we go. Yeah. Worst scripted missions. That was what pissed me off with GTA 4. Everything was so fucking scripted. I mean, there was one mission in GTA 4 where you had to go and kill this guy who was beating up this woman. And you had to follow him to the park and where all his gang was, and you had to take him out. But the thing is, it's like they wanted you to sort of take out this guy, but I was like right behind him on a bike, shooting him with a machine gun. I'm like, well, fuck. If I'm supposed to kill this guy, I'm firing bullet after bullet after bullet at this guy, and nothing's happening. He's like, you know, he was bulletproof, and it's just, you know, a pain in the fucking ass. You know, I want to kill this guy now. I don't want to have to go through. That's why I like sort of the Saints Row stuff, because they are more free what you can do. They're not overly scripted. It's like, well, shit, if I've got the right gun now, let me kill him now. I don't want to you know, not everything has to be scripted when it comes to open world gameplay, and it shouldn't be, because it's open world gameplay. It's do what you want. It's a sandbox. That's the whole point. It becomes restricted if you're trying to, you know, do a scripted mission in a sandbox. It's not, you know, not the best thing in the world. But say others, Jack, he commented, he said, set his best moments, saying setting foot in San Andreas for the first time. I'm sure the feeling will be replaced next week. He says, only worst moment was finishing the last mission of each game and realizing that it was it. That was my thing as well. That happened to me with GTA 3. It's like, well, fuck. I mean, you know, everything's over. What is there to do? I mean, we're lucky now with the online for Grand Theft Auto when it actually gets turned on and they fix it. Well, they finish making it, rather. And we get to do about 500 plus missions of whatever, which I'm looking forward to. But yes, you know, when it's over, it's over. It's, yes, you can go back again. But, I mean, with GTA 5, there's missions you can do again and again to get better ratings and stuff. But, you know, you've done something. It's done. It's one of those things. It's like you enjoyed something so much that you want to do it again, but still have the same feeling. And, you know, that's what we have with the GTA games. But yeah, I say worst moments, you know, that. One sec. What did Dark Fox say? Dark Fox was saying that the Lost and Damned acting was either the best or worst. But yeah, and what else we got? Brian, he commented as well, said the. Oh, I think that's what his best moment, what he wants to do in this one. But, Little Matt says, killing whores and finding the best cars. I mean, I do love I'll say that for a little bit in a second. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, finding all the fast cars. I mean, that's what I actually like in Saints Row, just sort of souping them up, you know, doing whatever to them. But yeah, what was your favourite GTA game? Mine, Vice City. As I said earlier, because of the 80s stuff. Next one, literally followed by GTA 3. Both really good games. Not a big fan of San Andreas. I sort of felt like that took a step back, to be honest. considering the how, you know, three played out and Vice City played out. But we got, oh, one sec, what's that going out for? Yeah, sorry, I'm just scrolling from my iPod. Yeah, other people's favourite game, Jack, was San Andreas and Vice City Stories. I don't think I did Vice City Stories. I think I did Liberty City Stories. But yeah, that's, you know, it's understandable. What else we got? Yeah, Dark Fox. His best one was, his favourite game, sorry, was GTA 2, which I've never played. I've played every other game, apart from the Vice City Stories. I never played GTA 2. I don't know why I skipped that. I don't know. I think I wasn't really into the gaming as much as I am now, so I think I might just skip that back in the day when you, what was that, 15 years ago when that came out? No, hang on, no, longer than that. 16, 17 years ago? We got, Little Matt said, Vice City in San Andreas. He said, I bought 4, couldn't really get into it. But yeah, I loved 4, but, say, overly scripted, which killed it for me. But, I mean, there was a great mix of characters. I mean, Nico was a bit of an arse. Roman, his cousin, was a bit of an arse as well. That's the whole thing with GTA 4. It felt disjointed, to be honest. Stuart's just giving me updates on Grand Theft Auto 5. He says, when you drive a motorcycle, you don't honk your car and you flip them off. Nice. Looking forward to doing that. But yeah, just thinking now, just going through things. But yeah, say GTA 4 had some good characters, but it wasn't used as much as it was. It wasn't as used as well as it could have been. I mean, I heard a lot of people saying that it did get very mobstery towards the end. And to be honest, I like that. I mean, that's why it fell short for me. It's like, well, you get all this mobster stuff right at the end. It's like, where the fuck were they the whole game? You know, you're playing it and just doing bits and pieces for every other person. And then the real mobsters turned up. And it was like, well, you know. I mean, this probably feels like from what I've seen from the footage and everyone said, this feels like a well-scripted game. Whereas previous incarnations, well, since Vice City, have been a bit aloof, really. But so, yeah, what's your history with the series? Mine, original GTA. A mate of mine lent it to me. I think I bought my own copy. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Just sort of trying to find a tank as well, doing the missions. I mean, this is old school, top down, sort of shitty graphics. But I mean, I could navigate that city no problem. Really good. Especially with the paper map. Yeah. Also, I played the GTA. I skipped down GTA 2, but I did play the GTA London. It was the 1969 GTA London. I don't know if anyone else in the States had that. But yeah, I got that off a mate, and that was a lot of fun. I didn't get too far into it because it was like, you know, to install one, then play the other, and, you know, sort of swap the discs just to get it to work. But yeah, it was a really fun little game. I've played all the rest. As I said, I didn't do any of the DLC for GTA 4, which, I think I probably moved on by the time. I know I'd had a few angry moments and broke a couple of discs from GTA 4. But yeah, I mean, GTA 4 wasn't the best in the series. Probably not the worst. I mean, San Andreas was the worst for me, but, you know, I have played pretty much all of it. I played Liberty City Stories. I think I skipped out on Vice City Stories, as I said. But yeah, I mean, the GTA games are so much fun, But yeah, so what do we get from everyone else? Jack says he started with Vice City, then 3, then all on the subsequent releases from San Andreas onwards. Yeah, pretty much same as everyone else. I mean, because, well, Jack is slightly younger than me, so, you know. What I got here? Yeah, Dark Fox. He said he started with GTA 2. Played back and then every game since. What else we got from people? Little Matt. I didn't answer, but I guess it must have been Vice City and San Andreas. But yeah, other things I did ask. I said, what are you going to do when you first get into the game? I mean, I literally have installed it. I got to the bit where it just starts the opening cutscene, and I'm like, yep, turn off. I'm playing it once I've done my show. But yeah, me, I'm going to get a fast car. I'm going to drive really fast. I'm going to piss off the police, try and get myself a 5-star rating, kill a bunch of them, and then try and lose that 5-star rating. That's my main thing for this game when it does, when I do get a chance to play it after the show. But yeah, I can't wait to get into it. I mean, I've seen loads of footage. The plane flying looks fun. All different characters. I mean, I watched, Game Trailers put up some videos. They put up the sort of cul-de-sac on Grove Street, which I'm looking forward to seeing. Which, it looks different from, obviously it looks different from the way it looked in St. Andreas. But it was like, they sort of panned around. I'm like, where the fuck is CJ's house? Unless I missed it. Because I think it's like the second house on the right-hand side, I think. I need to have a drive along and see it. I don't know if Stuart's anywhere near Grove Street, he can find it for us. But yeah, I'd say other people have got commented. We got from Jack, he said, drive, simply. That's all he's going to do. I think he's playing now, I don't know. Dark Fox, Dark Fox says, get a whore, then kill her. He says, that's how I start every GTA. Yeah, pretty much same as me. I mean, I did watch, in the Game Trailers videos, they showed us, different characters, I think Trevor's going to be one of my favourite characters. He looks really cool. He sort of looks like Mersh in about 20 years. But yeah, and then they showed, Michael's sort of, the Michael video from Game Trailers is really funny. It's sort of like his life, his family, and about his sex life. He goes to a psychiatrist, he says, what's your sex life like? And it just shows him like a prostitute, and he's having sex with a prostitute. And it just looks really, really funny. Brian, yeah, his comment here was Hooker Extermination Squad, which, gets a positive from me. I think he's going to go around and kill as many hookers as he wants. And that goes the same for Little Matt, to be honest. Killing whores and find the best cars, which is pretty much all we can do. I mean, I know with the GTA Online that we're getting, our own garage, I'm hoping we have that for the single player, to be honest. I would like to see somewhere I can just sort of store as many cars as I want and, just sort of do them up and have, I'm sort of feeling slightly redundant now. I'm just thinking about this. I watched the review and I saw what people are saying. I'm like, there's a lot to do, but doesn't seem enough to fill the space. I mean, that's what my problem with San Andreas. There was a lot of space, but not a lot to do. But it was this one. It's like there's 70 Sonic missions. There's going to be like 500 plus online missions. I still feel like there's not enough in the game. I don't. I know it's wrong for me to say it because I haven't played it yet, and I'm hoping you're listening to this when you're playing it. Or I mean, the radio station I'm really looking forward to. Fucking Laszlo, the greatest motherfucker in the world, on the microphone. I'm looking forward to hearing his voice again. Kenny fucking Loggins. I'm looking forward to hearing his voice. I've never heard him not singing, because I do have actually a few of Kenny Loggins' songs on my iPod. Hang on, Stuart's in the... he's flying the blimp. Yes, I got... there was a DLC code that came with my copy of Flying the Blimp. Stuart says, flying the blimp, I have a police copter right next to me shooting at me. I tried finding Grove Street because of the garage you get in the collectors is on the Grove Street, but I can't find his house. My blimp blew up. Tough shit to you. That's Stuart Hindenburg there. I'm just thinking now, actually, when I'm on the break, because I'll go for a break in a sec. But yeah, I want to have a look through the map that I've got and see if I can find Grove Street on that. Trying to do give directions from like 4,000 miles away to Stuart. I'm just sort of, what else? Hang on, did I miss out something? I know I did. Yes, Easter egg stuff. Because Jack was mentioning some stuff. Here we go. Yes, it said Jack. Talk radio about down. So speaking of Easter eggs, my favourite is from GTA 3 Liberty City Stories. There's a hidden message in the alleyway that changes in each game. It says, you weren't supposed to be able to get here, I've gone through this. Well, you literally sort of park up in ambulance, jump over the wall, and there's a message. Or if anyone went to inside the Statue of Liberty in GTA 4, There's an actual heart beating in there. I went and saw that. Fucking cool. Really, really good. It's, I like it with Grand Theft Auto, Easter eggs and stuff. But I mean, I did make a joke with Stuart. I think it was Stuart, or was it Stuart or Kevin? One of them on the Facebook group. When I posted up the picture of what the whole GTA 5 map looks like. 100 packages, trying to find them all. I know it's going to be tricky for me at least. But yeah, I say I'm so looking forward to playing this when I do get a chance. But yeah, it's gonna be tons of fun. But yeah, I have found some stuff. My old man helped me. Well, he found some in the Evening Standard. Since I got this here, I was just reading this article. This came out in last Monday. It says Grand Theft Auto is bad for business. The Department of Questionable Statistics this month gives us word that 14% of British men say they are likely to throw a sickie on launch day of the new Grand Theft Auto game. Let's say there are 18 million men of working age in the UK and go along with the sexist assumption that girlies don't play games. That means 2.5 million missed days of work. Call each one 100 quid and that's, holy shit. How much is that? 250 million quid. British employers are going to have to be paying to people to sit at home stealing imaginary cars and robbing imaginary prostitutes. Wonderful me, I'll be working from home. But yeah, we got this as well. This, my dad also found this for us. Grand Theft gamers face longer wait to see action. Gamers eagerly awaiting tonight. This is just from yesterday. Gamers eagerly awaiting tonight's release of the Grand Theft Auto could be disappointed after a leading retailer sold out of pre-order copies. Those who placed their orders with Amazon.co.uk from Friday onwards may have to wait even longer owing to the huge demand. Something just popped up in the chat. Have to wait longer demand. Owing to the huge demand for the game. A message on the site said those who ordered the 360 version would get there as soon as we received inventory. The launch of the fifth installment in the crime series. Well, it's not really the fifth installment, to be honest. It's the fifth main game, but, it's like 8 or 9 right now, to be honest. Where was I? Yes, the launch of the fifth installment in the crime series have been described as the most exciting entertainment event of 2013, which isn't saying much, it's in September, with 25 million copies expected to be sold in a year. Make that day one. It cost about £170 million to make, which is about $208 million, its release may have been hotly anticipated. Some shops are open at midnight tonight with fans eager to be among the first to play the new game. However, some lucky players have managed to get their hands on copies early, prompting maker Rockstar to launch an investigation. The company had asked sellers not to dispatch copies until today to prevent anyone from getting theirs early. On Saturday, Ahmed Elzebair posted on a gaming message board, "I just got mine in the post and I'm dying to play it." Tom Butler of gaming site IGN.com said, "Thousands of workers will take tomorrow off to spend the day playing the new game. GTA 5 will be the biggest game in the biggest game entertainment launch of the year, possibly all time," he said. GTA has sold 135 million copies since its debut in 1997, which is, 135 million copies, and this is, what was it supposed to be, 25 million copies? This is going to blow everything out of the water. I mean, this is going to sell more than Call of Duty. It's JJ. Hello, JJ. I was just seeing what you posted in chat. Yeah, I mean, This is going to go nuts. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing it when I do. But yeah, I found this. One sec, give me 1 second. I just need to call up another page. But yeah, I was looking for this article and I saw this. It was like, someone got stabbed. One sec. Here we go. Yes, here we go. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5 fan stabbed and hit with brick as gang rob him of computer game. I know I shouldn't be laughing, but it's quite funny. A man was stabbed and robbed for his copy of Grand Theft Auto 5 after buying the controversial computer game just moments before. The 23-year-old victim was knifed after leaving the Asda store in Colindale, where he had queued up for almost an hour. Stores across the country open their doors at midnight for worldwide release, one of the biggest game launches ever. The victim was on his way home from the shop when he was attacked by the game. He was hit with a brick and then stabbed. The attackers then fled with the computer game. Scotland Yard spokesman said, we called at 1:20 a.m. at Prince's Avenue in Colindale. A 23-year-old man was shopping. Then on his way home, he was hit with a brick and stabbed. He was robbed of his items he had bought from a nearby Asda supermarket, including a copy of Grand Theft Auto. The spokesman added, he was taken to North London Hospital. That's North London. What the fuck do you expect? Where he's currently in a stable condition. We think he was attacked on Prince's Avenue by multiple suspects. That is unclear how many at this stage. Twitter users expressed their shock at the brutal stabbing, with one writing, it's just a game. Grand Theft Auto 5 is late in a series of games notorious for their violent content. The game is expected to smash sales records by shifting 25 million copies in its first year and generating 1 billion for the developer Rockstar. Amazon already sold out of its copies of the game, which costs more to make than many Hollywood blockbusters, and is predicted to generate sales of 1 billion in the first year. Why do they repeat the same shit line again? A brutal scene in the latest versions where players carry out gruesome torture techniques has been condemned by teachers. In the 18-rated game, the player is instructed to pull out his victim's teeth with a pair of pliers. Gamers then perform a waterboarding torture technique by pouring a flammable liquid over a victim tied to a chair. Has anyone not seen fucking Casino Royale? He gets his nuts clamped on with shock cables. Players then smash the victim's kneecap with a monkey wrench and give him electric shocks using spark plugs. Who's this? Alison Sherritt, president of Lecturers and Teachers Association, said such extreme violence should not be included in video games. She said the scene takes things a step too far, and the games makers need to consider what they are producing. My concern is that a little brother or sister walk into the room and start watching something like this because older brother is playing it. They don't understand the difference between reality and fiction because it's so awfully graphic and real, and they do copy it. Jesus Christ. But this is bullshit. I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're a good enough parent, then you're not going to let your kids near this game. The game is rated 18+. Now, you have to be over 18 to buy it, and if you're a decent parent, or you're a parent with a fucking clue, you're not going to let your little kids play this. And you're going to make sure that your oldest, who is, should be old enough to play it, I'm sure, seriously, if you're 18, you shouldn't be letting your younger kids play this anyway. But Labour MP Keith Vaz, chairman of the Home Affairs Select Committee, told the Mirror, "I'm astonished at the level of violence depicted in the game." But Keith Vaz, you can go fuck yourself, you cunt. The midnight launch saw scores of gamers braving the cold and wind to get their hands on a copy. Taylor Pelling, 20, a student from Sutton, was first in the queue at HMV in Oxford Street after pitching his tent at 5 a.m. on Friday. Jesus Christ, he said. No one else turned up at 3 a.m. today, but it's a risk you take, and it paid off. It wasn't as cold as I thought, although I did find out the tent I bought wasn't waterproof. So that will be going back. This is the fourth game launch the media arts student has attended. He says, I use the time to work on my dissertation. I've got about 1,500 words done. Jesus, what a fucking loser. What else we got here? Yeah. Also in the queue was Michael Sanchez, 22, with a seven-month pregnant girlfriend. It says, we're out anyway. I jumped the queue. I just paid someone a fiver and they let me in. The store's opened around, ordered in around 2,200 games, and about 300 people waited outside. A long queue also formed outside the game at Westfield Stratford. Oh, wow. Close to me. Tom Butler, social media editor of IGN, said thousands of workers have taken... I've just read that shit. Jeez. Fucking nutty people. I mean, seriously, I've been working all day. I ordered it in the post. I got home. It's on the doorstep. I mean, I've only been to one midnight release, and that was for, I think it was Call of Duty, I think it was Black Ops. I think it was Black Ops, the first Black Ops game. That was the first midnight release I've actually been to. Well, for gaming, I did go to the Harry Potter one. There's no point. I mean, the fucking kid got stabbed. Just order it off the internet, for fuck's sake. Why? I mean, the brick and mortar stores are going under. The stories of the past couple of years, game have been selling out. They've been going bad for business. There's been, you know, just buy your shit off the internet. Have your postman deliver it. You know, then 7 years ago, it might have disappeared. It's just, Jesus Christ, these people. But yeah, I say, it does piss me off slightly. It was like, well, what do you expect? I mean, if you're in North London, that sort of shit happens, but, and it's for Grand Theft Auto. You're just asking for trouble, you know. Just fucking order it off the internet, take the day off from work, get a good night's sleep, that way you're not so fucking agitated and tired. You wake up next morning, postman's delivered it, it's lying here on the fucking, your doorstep. I saw this as well, I thought, as I was looking up stuff. You know, I'll take a break first, and then we'll get into this. But I got a sort of our favourite. This is from Games Radar. It's our favourite Grand Theft Auto characters. I'll take a quick break, and then I'll come back with this. But yeah, so it was more sort of Grand Theft Auto stuff coming right up as soon as I finish this break. I'll see you in about 10 minutes, people.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your haircut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots, who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Hey.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live, Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the
the soul behind More right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Yeah, what the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! 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 No!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Not painful in that.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the Ultra Violent Underground. Go to CZWrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's T today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo's Use show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, it's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
I need you
tea.
Thank you.
You're
all right. I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Oh, Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Bring him up back. What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout?
Did you want something?
No, not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. Came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another women's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You've got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, wait, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio with the Grand Theft Auto special. Before the break, I did find, for all the listeners and people right in the chat, I did find Grove Street on the map, so it is there, and I've no idea how to get to it from anywhere, because it's sort of amongst highways and junctions, and, you know, I'll drive around, I'll probably get to it. But yeah, so before the break, I did mention there's some other favourite characters. I got this from Games Radar. This is our favourite Grand Theft Auto characters. I think they compiled a list. Unforgettable felons, so wide open sandbox cities, elaborate heists, and absurd car stunts are only part of the magic that has made Grand Theft Auto's franchise so iconic. Running rampant through the streets, blasting civilians left and right is only fun for so long. Everyone craves some structure amidst all the chaos. That's where all your criminal contacts come in. A host of imaginative mob bosses, small-time thugs, and social misfits that all have a job they want you to do. And miraculously, every character you meet is a unique, memorable snowflake that stands out amongst the rest of the virtual metropolis. Everyone has their favourites, from the series protagonists, seen hanging out in the awesome Patrick Brown arcs in Bub, there's just from the things. To the supporting cast and hilarious bit parts. I think it was Manny from GTA 4. I think she gets shot in the head by that woman. That was quite funny. To reminisce before we dive head into the first into GTA 5, we asked some staff members and associates with GTA role has which GTA role has stuck with them throughout the series. See which characters they love, that sort of bullshit. Alright, first they've got little Jacob from GTA 4, you know, the first person to give you a gun. Most of Nico Bellic's friends in GTA 4 either cry about their sad lives or are sociopaths or scream titties, which sounds like Dutch, at you all day. Not so with little Jacob, the chilled out Rastafarian, just wants to hang with Nico when they go out drinking and dependable enough to stand by your side until the final story missions. Yes, you have to help him deliver the her from time to time, but his infectious relation makes it worth it. Move on. They're all commenting, but yeah, there's some good characters. Here we go. Yeah. Laszlo, everyone's favorite Laszlo. I have fond memories of GTA 3, when it wasn't busy introducing Liberty City's populace to a blunt end of a baseball bat, or showing my parents what I could do with a hooker if I rolled up to the street, rolled up in a set of wheels. I'd bask in an open world unlike anything I had seen before, and while I basked, I also listened to one radio station in particular, Chatterbox FM. I love listening to the host, Laszlo, make fun of his guests as I run people down. I mean, Chatterbox FM was the greatest radio station. I mean, was it GTA 4? We had, Vice City, when, you know, in GTA 3, you know, Laszlo mentions the rock station he was on. I mean, in Vice City, the rock station was okay, but it was just, I mean, I listened to it just because Laszlo was there. He's one of those sort of iconic characters in Grand Theft Auto. This guy I don't remember, Yusuf Amir from GTA 4. Who would have thought that the, this is why. Who would have thought that the Ballad of Gay Tony's best character would have been an impossibly rich Arab real estate developer? Yusuf is one of the most outstanding characters in GTA's history, though he uses his absurd wealth to purchase ludicrous possessions, including a gold-plated helicopter. He's consistently kind to Lewis, who refers to him as a brother, and throwing money at him every chance he can. I see. Never played the expansions, the DLC for GTA 4, so I have no idea who this character is. CJ, Carl Johnson, from San Andreas. Scroll down the page. One sec, sorry. I just highlighted the whole thing by accident. When the GTA series got its first African-American protagonist, he's black, not African-American. He's never been to fucking Africa. He's black. Fuck Oprah Winfrey, that fat cunt. It would have been really, really easy for Rockstar to fall back on tired stereotypes and make CJ a one-dimensional, thugged-out gangbanger. Thankfully, Rockstar... Well, yeah, he wasn't, but the rest of the people in the he hung with were. thankfully, Rockstar's nowhere near as lazy or crass as its detractors would have believed, so instead... CJ turned out to be one of the series' smartest, most complex, and strangely enough, moral protagonists. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I loved him as a protagonist, but it's just the whole, everyone else was an arsehole. It was just a pain. Here we go. Phil Collins. Then this is, see, I never played Vice City Stories, so I don't know this. That's right. Phil Collins is a frontman of Genesis. And star of Wobbly Heist movie Buster, which is a good film, by the way, which everyone should see. He's in PSP's Vice City Stories, and he actually performs In the Air Tonight in the game. Together with his Brummy manager, Barry, the duo take us through most memorable moments and one-liners in the game. Collins is played dry-humoured and cool, while Barry flaps and flusters about Phil's well-being. Phil Collins, I had no idea he was in that. Let's move on. Phil Collins, Jesus Christ. Brucey, yes. Brucey, Kibbutz. I think that's it, yeah. From GTA 4. All wife beaters, steroids and fake tans. Basically, he's a Guido. Brucey was actually shocking, ominous and... what's that say? Hang on, one sec. Portent? What the fuck's portent mean? Of the latest Jersey Shore. Yeah, he's a Guido. Latent of the Jersey Shore phenomenon, unending nightmare that would later fall upon our nation when GTA 4 was released in 2008. Shit, has it really been 5 years? The horror. Thing is, Brucey is so much more likeable than America's favourite Guidos for underneath his... walking can of Axe body spray exterior. He's actually a vulnerable, sensitive little puppy dog with a mountain of sincerities, a fact which, true to form, he does his best to hide, and it sometimes serves to make his excessive braggadocio, I don't know, but the more endearing. Yes, and he's also a closeted homosexual. Brucey is a great character. Yeah, I would say one of the most you know, fits. Who else have we got? They talk about Brucey again. Someone else has mentioned him. Let's move on. Who else we got? Barry Stark from GTA Vice Cities. Sadly, I'll never truly know what my favourite character looks like, but they're given the fact that he's a clingy middle-aged nudist who got shot in the crotch. That might be for the best. When I was asked, I'll wave 103, yeah. A couple of the insane conversations that transpired on NPR's spoof Vice City Public Radio with host Maurice Chavez. Maurice's banter was great, but his guest Barry Stark stole the show, with his, given his obsession with practical benefits of nudity and his constant need for bodily contact. I think I remember Barry Stark. He was such a great character. You know, on the radio. See, the radio is a character itself in GTA. What else we got? Let's have a look. Who's next? Yes, see, here we are. Luigi, I have to make sure I don't fucking this up. Gottarelli, one of the Italian mafia mobsters. Rockstar certifying president with GTA 3 by making up for the dull introductory activities with one of the game's strongest characters. As one of GTA 3's first taskmasters, Luigi serves as a fine example of the kind of mission giver rather, you'll always return to. He's brash, insulting, and hilarious. Thanks to the voice of Joe Pants Pantoliano. Oh, was it Joe? Oh shit! Oh yeah, of course it was. I'm hearing his voice in my head now. And his home base, the similar. The hilariously anachronous Sex Club 7 is one of Liberty City's premier destinations. Plus, he orchestrates one of GTA 3's most unique missions, the Fuzzball, in which Claude must round up a group of Luigi's finest workers to bring to a policeman's ball. I love that mission. That was great. That was basically you need to get a bunch of hookers to the policeman's ball, and it was great because I tried to grab a bus once, and I sort of went around the whole city and packed them all in a bus, and then just dropped them off, and just sort of took them to the ball, and it was really great. It was really fun. See, the missions are really fun. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even back when this first came out, GTA came out, GTA 2 and 3. Even though the graphics weren't the best in the world, it was the missions that really, made you want to do more and get more involved. And now that we have this big open world and expansive cities, I mean, I had a look at the map during the break because I was looking for Grove Street because Stuart couldn't find it. It's quite fucking there. It's right at the bottom of the map. It's the missions that get you involved. And now that we can do certain things, I looked at all the houses you can buy. I'm like, that's going to cost a lot of money. We're going to need to do a lot of missions and kill a lot of people and steal a lot of money. And I'm going to have so much fun with this. Who's the next character? Mohammed from GTA 4. What's he say? Actually, on second thought, I've changed my mind. There's another character who far outsigns Luigi. Throughout the course of the GTA 4, those who disrespect Nico Bellic either end up respecting the protagonist or end up dead. One man who keeps up the contempt throughout the entire game is actually being paid by the Bellics. It's Roman's car service employer, Mohammed. Oh, yeah, it's the guy behind the taxi driver. Once you unlock the ability to call Roman for the free cab rides, Mohammed bursts onto the scene with anger, lambasting Nico at every opportunity for freeloading. Oh, yeah, I remember this guy. Yeah, he was great. Where was I? Yes. Freeloading, when he's not banging out, he's not busy yelling out broken English, insults at Bellic. He's bragging about his distinctly explicit sex conquests, despite being married, even up to your final mission with Nico's power in Liberty City reaching its zenith. Mohammed won't even let up with the zingers. That's why we love him. Yeah. From what the videos, I think my voice is going again. From what I've seen from game trailers put up with the videos today, there's the taxi rides where you can jump in a taxi and go anywhere. So I'm hoping that you can skip it like you could in the previous one. But I'm also hoping that whoever's behind the wheel, will talk to you and that sort of stuff. So this is one I missed as well. Luis Lopez from Ballad of Gay Tony, one of the toughest of all GTA protagonists, with Jason Statham worthy missions that features skydiving, base jumping, cage fighting, train hijacking, yacht exploding, diamond stealing, and golden helicopter flying. As a matter of course, he's the manliest of the old GTA protagonist, too, a nightclub owner who will forcibly remove any drunk trying to take advantage of his female patrons. Then quietly and effortlessly seduce two of those women in the VIP section mere minutes later. But yeah, I never played it, so I don't know. But I did actually think about just picking up a copy of GTA. What the hell is it? GTA 3, just for, shits and giggles. But I thought, no, fuck it. Hare Krishna from GTA 1 and 2. This isn't really a character. It says, I have a particularly strong emotion feeling. Oh, Harry. It's Harry Krishna. It's Hare Krishna. Fucking, I've never seen it spelt before. So, yeah, it's the Hare Krishna. Oh, I love, yeah. This. I have particularly strong emotional feelings for in any of the GTA games. Now I realise that I may come off sounding like a psychopath. But my heart would skip every beat I saw one of those dudes in orange running around the original GTA. I mean, come on. These guys are just I just asked him to be mowed over in quick succession. Yeah, the Hare Krishna. Fuck Harry. Hare Krishna. Fuck it. Whatever. There's no doubt someone's going to cut that out. But the Hare Krishna. I used to run them down all the fucking time, annoying bastards. You used to see them going down a street in London, a few towns over from me, towards central London. They're all over the place. I'm just sort of... that's the last of it, pretty much. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to playing this. I mean, the show's nearly over soon anyway. But yeah, I'll go into some more. I found some more bits and pieces with the GTA special. I'll have a look at this. I'll just give this a quick glance. I'll reread it from IGN. Grand Theft Auto 5 PSN pre-load delayed till September 15th, which doesn't say much now since it's September 17th. But Rockstar Games originally promised European preloads for PSN version of the Grand Theft Auto 5 on September 13th. But since delayed them, Rockstar tweeted earlier that European preloads will be available September 15th at 3 p.m. British Standard Time, while U.S. customers will have access to the preloads at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so it's not our call, the representative said. A Sony representative confirmed on the company's forums that September 16th is indeed the new date, and that's what they find out. Yeah, literally nothing there, to be honest. I think the game's out now, so everyone's playing it. But I don't get why we would... buy a download copy when you can just, considering what I said a couple of weeks ago and last week, the price of digital download stuff, I don't know, these people. Sorry, I think I've got one more article, and then I'll go into some other news. There's some stuff I've seen. One second. No, I think that's it. There's this whole giant article, which is basically just a review, and I don't really want to read that whole thing. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for the GTA special. I'll finish off the rest of the show with a normal news section. But I say next week, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Eurogamer Expo. I want to know what you want me to go and see. I mean, literally, I'm only there for like 5 hours because I was a bit late on buying an all day ticket. But I say the first thing I'm going to do is going to go to the Pokemon booth and see if I can get my hands on the go of the Pokemon demo. But I say it's good because I mean the kids are back at school now. And, it's the day I'm going is on a Friday. So basically there will be no kids there. So, I mean, there's going to be a load of people, but I'm hoping I can get some decent time to play the Pokemon demo. But I say, I want you to tell me what you want me to go and look at. I mean, I'm not too fast. I'm going to hang around for 5 hours until the doors close. I'm going to try and pick up some swag if they have anything there. I mean, this will be my first expo for Eurogamer Expo. But I'll talk more about this next week. But I just want you to know, you know, you to tell me what you want me to go and look at when I get a chance. But yeah, I'll go into some of the new stuff. There's a few things that I've seen pop out, and this is actually this. I saw this right before the show started. I say, as I finished Diablo 3, Diablo 3 auction house shutting down next year. It ultimately undermines Diablo's core gameplay. Kill monsters, get cool loot. This is from IGN. Blizzard has announced that Diablo 3 auction house will be shut down on March 18th, 2014. In a blog post on Diablo's official site, Blizzard's John Hite explains that the auction house undermines the core gameplay of Diablo 3 and doesn't fit with the changes headed to the game in the upcoming Reaper of Souls expansion. When we initially designed and implemented the auction houses, the driving goal was to provide a convenient and secure system for trade, Hite wrote. But as we've mentioned on different occasions, it became increasingly clear that despite the benefits of an auction house system and the fact that many players around the world use it, it ultimately undermines Diablo's core gameplay of kill monsters, get cool loot. And with that in mind, we want to let everyone know that we decided to remove the gold and real money auction house system from Diablo 3. We feel that this move, along with the loot 2.0 system being developed concurrently with Reaper of Souls, with Reaper of Souls, will result in a much more rewarding game experience for our players. It continues. It says we're working out the details of how the auction house system will be shut down, but we wanted to share news as much as we made the decision in order to give everyone as much advance notice as possible. Please note that the shutdown will occur on March 18th, 2014. We will keep everyone informed as we work through this process. Along with game director Josh Mosquera, Heights released the following game video explaining the decision. I'm not going to play the video. Blizzard first unveiled the auction house back in 2011. Leading to up to Diablo 3's launch last year. Former game director Jay Wilson later called the auction house the wrong solution in March. I think I remember reading this on the show. And in May, a gold exploit caused the auction house to be temporarily shut down. Blizzard announced Diablo 3's first expansion, Reaper of Souls, at Gamescom last month. But much more on the changes Diablo's fans can expect. I'm looking forward to this Reaper of Souls one. I have no idea what it's about because, you know, I didn't really think I'd pick up Diablo so quickly and, you know, finish it so quickly. But I'm going to have a look at this when I get a chance. But yeah, I mean, they've been saying for ages, to be honest. And I mean, I've read it out on the show that the expansion was the auction house is a bad thing. And I'm like, I'm agreeing with them. Auction houses only work with MMOs and. I mean, I used it when I was playing Final Fantasy XI for a couple of months. I used the auction house all the time. It was quite a fun place. There was loads of different items and, you know. But, yeah, I mean, there's no real need. Now that I've played Diablo 3 and I've actually been through the game without the auction house, there's no real need. I mean, my mate is making hundreds of thousands of gold just from finding loot, just from doing the same old, you know, back and forth, just, you know, loot hunting. But yeah, I say there's no real need for, you know, so much gold and, you know, all these items. You just get it in game. I mean, just, you know, if you don't like what your shops have when you start your game up, just save, come out, quit, go back in, whole load of new stuff. And that's what I've done several times to get better and better gear. But yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense. It's one of those things. It's like they came up with what they thought was going to be a great idea. But, you know, turned out not to be, to be honest. Where was this? I saw something from... Here we go. I saw this. This was interesting. I mean, I like Zelda. Zelda director wants to make a game without a predefined story. Zelda series steward Eiji Anuma makes games with memorable archetype stories... A hero saves a princess and her kingdom from an evil overlord. But someday, he told MTV Multiplayer, Jesus Christ, he wants to let players define their own narrative. It's called a sandbox game. What I really, really want to create, what my ultimate hope or goal is to create a game without a story. Not to say that a story is non-existent, but it's a story that isn't already created. Anuma said, it's a story that the player, in interacting with the space or environment, creates. So a story that is defined by the player, not the one that's already prepared, and a game that just kind of follows that path, if that makes sense. I'll add in my two cents after I've read this article. Anuma said that the Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, and The Wind Waker HD was a special exception to the way the Zelda stories generally come together. Instead of figuring out a unique gameplay and hook, hook first, then building the story around it, elements like cell shading, ocean travel, and a sunken Hyrule all came together organically. And that's as close as his teams come to a narrative first design. If you have a story first, you're kind of tied to that story and locked into it. And you have to alter gameplay to make sure the story progression is in a certain way. He said, that means less emphasis on the making it fun to play. I know that there are many games that were created to fit an existing story, and I don't know that there are many that have been very successful at it. Well, I mean, I like his train of thought, right? But you can make games for Nintendo. Go to fucking Miyamoto and say to him, tell him this shit. Tell him, you know, say that you want to make a game that has this sort of, you know, that you sort of have a sort of an open world sandboxy game where the character is any random character and you can do what you want in it. I mean, I can name several. I mean, Pokemon's sort of doing that now with the, sort of, very loosely, they give you a character, but you can customize your character, how he looks and all that sort of stuff. But you've got games like Fallout and Skyrim, you know, the Bethesda sort of the games. You know, that's there. It's just, if you've got these ideas, I mean, fuck. Because Nintendo's sinking like a brick, to be honest. And they need something to spice up what they have. And these ideas, you're not saying to anyone. Just, you're right, you're saying it to MTV Multiplayer. You know, I don't know. So it seems like a, you know, if you've got something to say, say it. That sounds like a good idea. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Nintendo fan. I mean, yes, I love my Pokemon. But just say it to fucking somebody and let them think about something, what you want to do. Go in depth in this thought. Sit down. Take a couple of days. Work something out. And then they come up with a proposition, some storyboards, anti-storyboards, and do something. Make something different for Nintendo. You know, if you've got a tongue in your head, say something. Use your brain, you know. I mean, this, you know, whatever game you want to make could be really good for Nintendo. It could swap everything around. It could make them all happy again. And people actually want to play games that are on Nintendo systems and actually sell Nintendo systems. Whereas they're having to cut the price on stuff because, you know, no one's buying their shitty systems. Princess Peach is joining the Smash Brothers on the Wii U and 3DS roster. Yeah, she's the 15th confirmed character. Got this from IGN, by the way. Nintendo has confirmed today that Peach will be joining the Smash Brothers Wii U and 3DS roster. She joins 15 other characters confirmed for the much anticipated brawler, which will be released next year. You can see all the our Smash Bros on the wiki. Yeah, whatever. But yeah, so Princess Peach, I mean, I'm going to get this when it comes out on the 3DS, Smash Brothers. I've never played a Smash Brothers game. I mean, I know there's big groups for it and there's like tournaments and stuff. I'm like, you know, this is pretty cool, but I've never played it. I have no idea what it is exactly. I mean, I think it looks like sort of Worms, like that sort of style. You sort of point your character one way and then just hit the trigger, or I don't know. Let's have a look. There was something else I saw. I've got about 20 minutes left before I have to end the show, so I'm going to try and get some as much done as possible. Okay, one sec. Sorry, there's so much here. No, I've talked about that already. Okay, let's find something good. Here we go. Yes, I think. Oh, hang on, no, I've done that. Sorry, I'm just sort of going through. I'm trying to find something interesting. I don't want to bore you to death with stuff. Here we go. Yeah, this is interesting to me. Got this from IGN. New Deus Ex and Hitman trademarks filed in Europe. Hitman Go, Hitman Sniper, and Deus Ex Universe trademarks have been discovered. The first indications of what Square Enix plans to do next with Deus Ex and Hitman franchises may have just surfaced by way of trademarks the publishers filed for in Europe. As discovered by Siliconera and verified by IGN, three new trademarks were filed in Europe on September 10th. In the case of Hitman, there are two new trademarks, one for Hitman Sniper and one for Hitman Go. The Deus Ex trademark is now called, is something called Deus Ex Universe. No description is provided for any of these, any of the three. So we don't know yet for sure what whether these are the names of new games or something else entirely. But franchises have expanded beyond games in the past. Deus Ex Human Revolution has a comic book series, which I read, a spin-off novel, The Icarus Effect, which I was told it was okay, and a film adaptation that was announced last year. We also know that Hitman film reboot is in the works. It will reportedly star Paul Walker. I heard about this a while ago. There was nothing wrong with the Hitman movie that we got. I liked it. It was a really good film. But Paul Walker's a really shit actor. If you want to reboot it with him, you might as well just put a couple of bullets into that movie right now. But yeah, Hitman Sniper. If that's like the fucking Hitman Sniper challenge, I will give you my money right now. You can have my wallet. I'll write you a blank check. I love that Hitman Sniper challenge that we got. So much fun. But yeah, I say Deus Ex Universe, MMO, that's what it sounds like. Setting the character's world, and I'm looking forward to, what else we got? Let's have a look. Okay, yes, this is interesting. EA's working on 6 and 8 new franchises. This is from IGN. Getting a lot of stuff from IGN this week. Electronic Arts is reportedly working on between 6 and 8 new franchises, according to the company's head of games. Patrick Sutherland told MCV that the mega publisher views taking risks as a necessity if it's to survive. So he's working on these titles in addition to the announced projects like Mirror's Edge 2 and Star Wars Battlefront. It says, we are working on a new Mirror's Edge game, although that's the not a new IP, it's a revival done in a new way, he said. We're developing a Star Wars Battlefront, which to us is a new IP, even though it's isn't technically. We have 6 to 8 completely new IPs in the works. The day we stop making new IPs is when we go on onto life support. We need to incubate new ideas and push creative boundaries. Well, no shit. I mean, I agree with him totally. I mean, I'm not the biggest EA fan, but I do agree. You do need... I mean, if he's taking a stand and he's saying this, it's like, yeah, you need new IPs. You can't rest on your laurels of what you've got. Everything needs to be changed up. You need to take risks. That's the whole point. We can't exactly take the risk with the game that developers could take in the PlayStation 1 days, PlayStation 2 days, because, yes, they were expensive games to make back then, but not... I mean, Sega took a risk with Shenmue. I mean, that game was £50 million or $50 million, and it crippled the system. The game was amazing. I loved it. Forklift. I said about Forklift Racing last week in the mini games. We're getting Forklift Racing, but we're getting to drive forklifts around in Grand Theft Auto 5. I can't wait. You've got to take risks. Otherwise, you fucking don't get anywhere. Otherwise, if you don't take risks, you're Nintendo, and you just make the same old games that you've been making for the past 30 years. What else we got? Let's have a look. Nope. Just I got a bunch of polls here. Nothing really interesting. Nope, not that one. Hang on. Here we go. Something from Microsoft. Let's have a look. Yeah, this is interesting. Microsoft has bought XboxBone.com. That's from IGN. Major Nelson has called the nickname disrespectful, but Microsoft has bought the domain anyway. Fusible reports that Microsoft has bought XboxBone. Has bought XBone.com after Major Nelson called the console's most affectionate nickname disrespectful. Hoses search reveals that the domain is owned by Microsoft. Currently, nothing is hosted there. It redirects to a Bing search for Xbox for XBone, but presumably Microsoft has bought it to prevent anyone else using it. On NeoGAF earlier this week, Major Nelson called XBone moniker disrespectful. He says, "I don't like it. It disrespects the teams that have put in thousands of hours already into development of the product. Sure, it's cheeky, but I don't care for it myself," he wrote. Time will tell if XBone's nickname endures for as long as COD Blops and, I don't get the XBone. Xbox One, XBone. I know it's a play on words, but I don't get it, to be honest. I don't know if that's me being short-sighted, this sort of stuff, but it's kind of stupid, but, you know, whatever. Where was that? All right, just trying to find some decent stuff. I'll just clear this when I get a chance. Here we go. Movies. AV Arad talks about Uncharted, Mass Effect, and Metal Gear Solid movies. Producer AV Arad is a veteran bringing superheroes to the big screen, having shepherded Spider-Man, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Blade back when he ran Marvel Studios. Arad has in recent years turned his attention towards trying to get some several video game movies off the ground, most notably Uncharted, Mass Effect, and Metal Gear Solid. Arad gave us a status update on those products while doing press in Beijing. He says, "I think Uncharted will be very successful. It's a father and son game. There are things about it that are interesting. I think the world of antiques and antiques theft. There are many countries in the world that realize that being robbed and they're trying to recoup their important pieces." Arad told Kotaku of his hopes for the video game movie. "Now the script has a lot of character, and I think that as a shot of being the first one to succeed." Hang on, sorry. Give me one second. I'm just trying to sort of see if that's the end of this part. Yes, it is. Yes, I agree that, you know, Nate and Sully's relationship is sort of father and son sort of thing. But, I mean, I don't think he's ever played an Uncharted game and doesn't really understand where the history of the game come from. Basically, Uncharted came from Tomb Raider, and now we have the new Tomb Raider, which came from Uncharted. And basically, you know, we do have an antique hunting sort of character in the movie industry. He's called Indiana Jones, which is basically where the original Tomb Raider came from. So it's, you know, swings and roundabouts. But yeah, I mean, it could work. Jesus Christ, I've just sort of seen it here. Yeah, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg asked to write. Fuck those two Jews. I watched Seth Rogen and Evan play The Last of Us. They had no clue what they were doing. What a pair of useless fucking idiots. They really are. And Seth Rogen hasn't had the greatest career in the world. A couple of stoner movies, and you know, it's not exactly hard to make a stoner movie. It really isn't. But yeah, I'll carry on reading this article. The story is the thing for Arad, who sees biblical elements in Metal Gear Solid, saying, "You have Cain and Abel." Of the three aforementioned video game movies Arad is producing, it sounds like Mass Effect is the furthest away from reality right now. It's a big idea that we humans are the least developed the least trusted and interesting mirror image of our world. We are the aliens now. I'm guessing he's only played the first one. Love the project. It's getting there, and it's been a lot of work. Some movies take 5 to 6 years before they're ready. But to be honest, though, I mean, we don't... Considering how these games are, that they actually play out like movies, I don't think we really need anything, to be honest. I mean, Uncharted is Indiana Jones, it's Tomb Raider. We've had those movies, we've had those games. You know, because Tomb Raider, we've got games and movies, and same with Indiana Jones, we've had movies and we had games of it. Mass Effect, don't make a fucking movie of it. You couldn't make it work. You don't have the time, you don't have the money. Metal Gear Solid, Kojima basically makes his games movies with the giant cutscenes he has. I'm not interested in seeing something like this. I mean, damn it, I don't want to see something like this ruined. I just don't really. I mean, I'm a big fan of all those games. I mean, I'm looking forward to a new Uncharted game when that does come out. But, you know, I want something that's different, you know. Xbox, that's my gen. Xbox Live Marketplace renamed as Xbox Game Store. Microsoft has officially rebranded the Xbox Live Marketplace as the Xbox Game Store, effective immediately. Joystick asked Microsoft about the reasons for it to switch and has told... that's right, Xbox Live Marketplace is now called the Xbox Game Store and will sit alongside the Xbox Music Store and the Xbox Video Store. This is to make it easy for consumers to find content both on Xbox 360 today and Xbox One when it launches in November. The Xbox Live Marketplace launched at the same time as the Xbox 360 in November 2005. Given that the recent changes made regarding the Xbox Video Store and the Xbox Music Store, however, we're not massively surprised at the decision. Well, no shit. It's not the only change hit the store this week. On Monday, this came out a couple of weeks ago, by the way, Microsoft implemented its long-discussed plan to retire Microsoft points and bring in regional currencies across the board. But yeah, I mean, this makes sense. But I mean, it's the whole thing with getting rid of Zune as well, because that died on its arse way early, years ago. And it makes me wonder what took them so long. But yeah, what else we've got? Let's have a look. Let's find something else to wrap the show up with. Okay, let's go with something from Sony. Here we go. Yeah. Gran Turismo movie plot. I saw this a while ago. I've been meaning to get to this. Gran Turismo movie plot outline. This is from IGN. I think I've got all my stuff from IGN this week. The movie plot's in outlines. The first details regarding, what the curious, Gran Turismo movie, will be about, have surfaced. As it turns out, the film will tell the story of cars or racing, but a person involved with those things. Kazunori Yamamuchi, longtime developer of the Gran Turismo series, gave a brief sense of what kind of story the movie will tell at Gamescom. This came out a couple of weeks ago as well. Destructo reports that he revealed the film will cover the life of Lucas Ordonez, a Gran Turismo player turned professional race car driver. I've heard about this guy. Fans might recognize Ordonez's name from his appearance in the Gran Turismo 6 demo, where he featured as a previous winner of the GT Academy. Yamamuchi noted that offers from Gran Turismo movies have been coming in from the past 7 years, but it wasn't until this one from 50 Shades of Grey producer Mike De Luca and Dana Brunetti, but the one, geez, they mixed it with 50 Shades of Grey, you have sex in a car. That was Crash, though, I think. That's one of them that were given the green lights. Yamamuchi's vision for the movie is to show the transformation of a video game player into a racing champion. He was talked in the past about how it's been his dream for a Gran Turismo player to become a racing driver. No release date or other information on the movie has been released so far. Development on the movie was first announced last month and was prominently met with a great deal of skepticism. Gran Turismo as a series of driving simulator games yet has never been about story, character, or anything else. that would make it seem like a natural fit for a movie adaptation. Now that we have some idea of what to expect, are you any more intrigued by this notion of a Gran Turismo movie? I think a Gran Turismo, see, this sort of punches you in the mouth and proves out that game movies don't work. I mean, to be honest, it doesn't even have to be Gran Turismo, to be honest, considering that what they're saying is with Gran Turismo, there's no been real story, there's no real plot, it's just basically driving, earning money, buying cars. I mean, that's the exact same thing with Forza. Why don't you do a Forza movie? But it's just because some guy, that's the thing, see, I mean, it was some guy, right, he was playing Gran Turismo, liked it, was inspired, and now he wants to be a racing car, or is a racing car driver. Isn't that the same with everyone? You know, I mean, where's the FIFA movie? You know, someone plays football, and then, you know, says, oh, well, you know, playing on FIFA, and it's like, well, shit, I want to be a professional, whatever. Same with Madden, you could do the same thing, or hockey, you know, those sort of things, and, you know, you can make a movie out of any of these sort of sports titles. You know, fucking, I don't know, NBA Jam the movie, you know, Bugs Bunny edition or something. I don't know. I just think it's really funny about this whole fucking games movies, especially games with no plot. I mean, that's the whole point. That's like, well, they, I mean, you know, proof that this shit doesn't work, you can say from the Battleship movie. There's no real plot to Battleships apart from, you know, destroying the enemy ships. And that's it. That's pretty much, that's it. And now you've got, you know, Gran Turismo movie, no real plot apart from this guy who used to play the game and now he's a professional race car driver. Isn't that every, you know, race car driver? I mean, you know, all race car drivers started off like kart racing, that sort of stuff, and then moved up to the bigger stuff as they got older. You know, it's not exactly the, you know, you know, the dream of champions, is it really, to be honest? I'm going to wrap up the show here because literally I want to stop and play some Grand Theft Auto. But I say thanks to everyone who listened this week, including the people at Rockstar. You know, if you want to comment on the show, it's, you know, you can Skype in anytime you want. Antisocial Game Radio, it's all one word on Skype. What else we got? Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MNRGamerLobby. That's the joint group between this show, Antisocial Game Radio, and Leak Speakers, which is on Wednesdays at 6 to 7 Eastern Time, just before Hippo Juice. You want to email us? It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Facebook page, give it a like. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And if you want to tweet into the show, you know, or me, at MLR Gamer Radio. Now, topic for next week. Basically, I mean, we've got the Eurogamer Expo next weekend. Not this coming one, the week after, sorry. I'm going to go to that. I want to know, on the Facebook group, I'm going to post the actual page for it in there. So you lot can see and, you know, have a look through. Tell me what you want me to see, what me to have a look at. I'll do what I can. I'll get to what I can. I should have bought a ticket earlier. But I'm looking forward to going. I really am. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to meet loads of people, take loads of pictures, try and hand out some business cards, maybe get some interviews. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Get some interviews with people. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, yeah, I say, because, I mean, that'll probably be, next week I'll be, you know, talking about what I want to do, what I want to see, what I want to achieve, that sort of stuff from going. I know next week I'll be talking about a load about Grand Theft Auto as well. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, there's a good couple of shows coming up soon, and we've got the Game of the Year show at the end of the year. I really need to start to do some work on that. I mean, I think the 1 year anniversary for the show is coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm not going to do anything special. I don't even remember when the first show was. I think it was sometime in October. I just sort of buzz past it and whatever. But if you want to listen live, if you download in, we go live, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to disappear now because I want to play some Grand Theft Auto, and hopefully the rest of you all are. You know, I've given you all the show's details. If you ever want to, you know, comment on how you're enjoying Grand Theft Auto, drop us an email, tweet at us, you know, get in a Facebook group, like the Facebook page, you know, let us know, get involved. And I will see you lot again next week. Take care, guys.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast, or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.